This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday presented by Miller Lite. Brooks Cabina, Houston Chronicle.
Yeah.
Our good friend and our Texans insider here on Sports Radio 610. On
Brooks
his way
Cabina,
out to practice. Yeah.
Who is, he is the best of the new era of media where he's writing for a newspaper. But he does like all the blogger stuff. Like he writes long form articles. He walks. He does the little blurbs. He does podcasts. He's a multimedia sensation.
He eats film.
Yeah, you're like a non-crass Howard Stern.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Which would be current Howard Stern, basically. You're current Howard Stern.
All right.
Not as rich.
Yeah, I was about to say you get four more zeros, and then you're good to go.
Which means you also have to get the dump button ready to go here.
Indeed. Edgy Brooks Cabina.
You're in hot this morning. Yeah.
Yep. We just got done playing Brandon Staley's scouting report on Davis Mills, which sounds like he was either reading the Wikipedia definition of a quarterback or he just hasn't watched Davis Mills on film yet this year. What's the big thing that you want to see out of Davis Mills on Sunday that we haven't seen so far this year?
Well, it is a continuation of what we saw last week. I mean, looking into the numbers after that, we were talking about how he wasn't able to get the ball downfield as often. He was able to do that against the Bears. The two interceptions are really the takeaway that decides whether you felt like he had a good game or not. The first one where he threw an interception in the end zone against the Bears, I feel like that was a pick play that just didn't work out. And I think that's an interception, even though Lovie Smith chagrins it because it's, points off the board. You want a guy to take a shot. And the last one is obviously, throwing to Rex is always going to tick a lot of people off whenever you're looking to go downfield. But I think when you looked at the sideline pass to Philip Dorsett, there was a 30-yard pass to Farrell Brown on third down. Those kind of things he's starting to get. I'd like to see that again, but that also depends on the run game. So to be able to keep Damian Pierce going against what is now a banged-up defense for the Chargers, Joey Bosa obviously on the injured reserve, can Davis Mills make the decisions that end up winning a game? I mean, that's really it. We've seen some of the numbers, how they look and how they're able to get that ball down the field, but making the decisions that matter on plays that matter, he's got to do that.
Yeah, that's what Sean and I were talking about this morning, and the evaluation of a quarterback is so hard in any situation, but then if you look at, like, watching the game last night, and Tua's got Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill to throw to.
Right.
Jamar Chase and T. Higgins on the other side of the ball. And in the first half, both those quarterbacks, before Tua's injury, both of them looked god-awful, if you didn't know anything else about them. And they've got those guys to throw to. I'm stuck trying to figure out how you can definitively say that, okay, Davis Mills doesn't have it when this is the receivers that he does have. Or am I being overly generous there? Is Nico Collins missing out on opportunities?
I think it's an interesting point because, I mean, obviously Brandon Cooks throughout this season has not had as much productivity as he did last year. I've just been looking at it. It's a weird fit for some of these wide receivers. I was thinking about this with Cooks. I mean, last year to this, and you're running a lot of three tight end, two tight end stuff, and you're trying to then spread the ball out. It's a weird system whenever you think about trying to utilize certain receivers in certain situations, and I think that's partly why we're not seeing as much productivity from Cooks. But it also kind of goes to, how do you construct an offense? I mean, whenever Pep Hamilton was hired and we asked him about his philosophy, he's like, well, you always, you know, kind of the, always the play caller thing. He's like, we look at our personnel and then we adapt around it. So is that basically saying your strengths are your run game, your offense, and maybe not your quarterback and receivers? And when you look at how they play the game, is that how it works? I mean, it's interesting you say that about the Dolphins, because that's like the last couple of weeks. You're like, all right, what happens whenever you throw in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and all of a sudden, you know, Tua looks like a star. But it sometimes that gets brought down. I do think just this philosophy for the offense here is really centric around this run game. And I think that tells a little bit more about the lacks in other positions. And maybe whenever you have a guy like Cooks who could benefit in another system, maybe it's just kind of a strange fit at the time.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's the other side of it, where as we paint this picture of just a weird Texans offense.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that they would be capable of running the ball. In the modern NFL, that usually means using at least two running backs.
Right.
I don't think that Burkhead's going to be that guy ever, because he never has been, and now he's old. So what does it, like, what's the upside of the Texans offense this year? I know Damian Pierce can get a little bit better, you know, seeing some of his cutback lanes. I think the offensive line has shown signs that they're starting to gel and that could get better, but is it going to be Damian Pierce getting the ball 20 to 25 times a game?
Yeah, because if he doesn't succeed, the rest of it doesn't. I mean, every time I talk about what happens with the pass game, it's always saying, well, you know, once the run game works, then it'll open up everything else. So if that doesn't work, then nothing does. And I think the Chargers is an interesting conversation. You talked about Rex. He had the game of his life last year, and that's why they were able to pull up an upset, that and, you know, a huge COVID outbreak that sidelined a lot of players on both sides. But, I mean, that's what you have to look for. Is this run game going to be part of it? And I think it's going to be interesting next year whenever – and I think the players that would have changed that, Seth, was probably, you know, obviously John Metchie's dealing with a leukemia diagnosis, and that's an unfortunate off-the-field thing more than it is on the field. But that's a player, I think, whenever you're a play caller, you say, okay, now I can factor this guy in, and maybe we can do some different things with this. I mean, this whole time, I mean, even in training camp, we're looking at, all right, whenever they spread out four, what threats do they have? I mean, is this going to be a legitimate deal here? And I think whenever those packages and going out and fielding that on the field, you know, you don't really have as much incentive as a play caller to use that.
Yeah, that's a really good point about Metchie. And I think also a mistake that I've made at times is that because last year Tim Kelly was the offensive coordinator and Caserio was the GM, in my mind I was kind of like, okay, we're looking for some version of the New England offense. There's still a part of me that has that vestigial knee-jerk feel to where I'm like, yeah, where's this slot receiver that I've been waiting for all these years? And then I remember, oh, yeah, Pep Hamilton's the offensive coordinator, and that's not necessarily his deal. Yeah, yeah. I would like it to be. I saw Philip Dorsett for the first time, like in a meaningful way, I felt. So I think you're right in saying that they're trying to do a lot of stuff, like with their tight ends group. If you want to be a tight end heavy offense, that's awesome. But you got Pharaoh Brown, sometimes Brevin Jordan, Jordan Akins. That's like, it's like showing up to an event at the Paralympics dressed up like a pirate with a peg leg instead of those awesome blade running things. It's inadequate for what you're trying to do.
Right. I mean, it's
exactly.
I love how you no sold that, Brooks. That was the best.
I'm just gonna go with
continue.
It.
Continue.
You know, and then, I mean, last year with Tim Kelly, you saw him do a lot of. I think he tried to do as much as he could with what was on the field, and this year, there's obviously more draft picks, more pieces that they were able to get. And I think, I mean, it's always something that I remind myself, too, because you talk about the running back situation. It would help to have a dominant 1-2 punch like some teams have if this is the team you want to be. But you also have a good chunk of your cap space dedicated to people that aren't there. You are like up against it right now. You don't even have a full 53-man roster right now. You have 52 with 1.6 against the Caps. You can't really go out and sign anybody or make a trade without doing some really headache-inducing accounting. But I think they're trying to max out as much as they have, and Damian Pierce is a big part of that. But you also have a 17-game season, and you know he's got a I don't think you can sustain that where you're going to go out and try and run the ball 20 to 24 times.
I would see like the short-sighted, hey, we might be all dead in 2023 part of me wants to say, let's go full John Riggins with Damian Pierce.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Look, they all these running backs are used up by year four anyway. He's not going to be around for when the Texans are really, really pushing. Just go for it now. Life is short.
I mean, it's... Yeah, it would be. But I think what's interesting to see how they try to be as creative as they are. It's like you see one of the things that came up this week is that Lovie Smith said on two of the third downs that they had, third and ones were RPOs, and you use Jeff Driskel as a zone read guy in the first two games. I mean, they're going off the roster, going to certain creative deals to try and maximize what they have. Whenever you might be able to say, hey, I got a player, I'm going to go to him on this play. I think that kind of is in a way of not saying without saying, all right, we're trying to do the most with kind of a limited offense.
Yeah.
Here.
Jeff Driskel's the one who got paid last week. You know, he wasn't active, and they were 0-for-4 on third and one.
Sure.
Yeah, that's it, man. That was a big Jeff Driskel week. By not playing, Jeff Driskel increased his value. Brooks Cabina, Houston Chronicle, in studio with us here on Sports Radio 610. The Chargers are a banged-up football team. Mm. They're missing their left tackle. They're missing their key edge rusher in Joey Bosa. They've got a center who's banged up. They've got a cornerback, J.C. Jackson, who's been banged up with an ankle. We know their quarterback, Justin Herbert, is banged up. There's probably others that I'm missing here along the way. Which of those injuries, which one is the most, whether it's a guy who's out or a guy who's limited,
mm-hmm.
which one is most impactful to this game on Sunday?
I think it's Joey Bosa, because that was a deal where you're going to unleash hell on Davis Mills with Khalil Mack. I mean, I was circling that over the offseason because we were wondering how this offensive line was going to look. And whenever you have a front that can stop the run as well, that's the centric piece of this Texans offense. So, if that opens up a little bit, because with the Bears, I mean, when you looked at their defense, there's you know, a few players that you can name and say, like, okay, they might be able to stop us, and you know, they didn't have a full front. The Chargers could have done that with ease if I think Bosa was part of this, obviously with the talent he is. So maybe the run game's opened up enough for them to get things moving. So I think that's probably the biggest and most impactful one.
This is the thing that you can't blame this on any one person, because coordinators have changed, personnel has changed. But I was kind of shocked, Brooks. I hadn't realized just how long and how bad the Texans' run defense had been. Maybe mm-hmm. I've been in a state of denial. Second, I think they were second worst last year, and then worst mm-hmm. in 2020. It's been a rough stretch here. I don't necessarily see a lot of hope for this year on it improving a whole bunch. Other than that, the tackling looked like it, weirdly enough, in a game where they let up 282 yards rushing, I think the tackling wasn't as much of an issue. Just flat out getting beat was an issue, but the tackling wasn't as much of an issue.
Yeah, it's like they're in the position to make it, but they're not able to do it. And I was talking this week about the Chargers and, oh, you know, Austin Eckler's having a down year. I was like, well, I mean, he's played top 15 rush defenses the last 3 weeks, and the Jags are number one. And let's see him play against a team that is not good at that. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's going to be a huge support for a banged-up Justin Herbert, because every offense in some way opens up whenever there's a good run game. And Eckler, I think, even though they don't have as big a 1-2 as they probably want, Sony Michel obviously coming off the Achilles, maybe not looking so good, it's a situation where I think they'll do just fine, because every team has done so. And the Texans front, I mean, we talked about this last week. It's like their biggest additions was Thomas Booker in the late rounds, and then an undrafted defensive tackle, Kurt Heinisch. That's your big change, other than the defensive ends, which is one part of it.
Yeah, no, you can't fix everything in one offseason with this team.
Well, going back to the Chiefs playoff blowout, they didn't make any improvements to the defense
after
that year. They ended up awful, and then they doubled up on that by not really making any improvements, which, again, that goes back to the dead money on the cap. I get all that. Yeah. It's just, it is what it is.
But you have a secondary you can look at now.
Yes.
So, without wincing.
Very watchable.
Every week.
Very watchable. Before we get you out of
here. Lots of tackling practice.
Yeah. Let's talk in like week 10 and see if they're all physically able to walk. Before we get you out of here, what's your prediction for the game on Sunday?
I think the Chargers win for the reasons we were talking about. I think the run game opens up for Eckler against the nation's worst by 40 yards on average. I think that gives Justin Herbert support. I think he's turned the ball over the last couple of weeks, but I think he's safer with it this week. I think he's working better with that. I do think the Chargers can still have enough success with Khalil Mack getting and causing problems in the backfield for this team, and I think it'll be probably about 27-17.
Okay, all right, 27-17. There you go, Brooks Cabina, Houston Chronicle. You got to get out of here because you're going to be really popular when you get to the stadium.
That's
Brooks
right.
Got like 8 boxes of kolaches here.
Yeah,
like old school up in the hill country kolaches.
Yeah. My coworker Jonathan Alexander didn't know what one was.
Oh boy!
And he brought in the sausage. I called up the people over at Ruska's back near home on 71, and the dude drove out to meet me.
Yeah,
and I've got like 80 of these.
Yeah.
I saw John tweet that out, and I was like, oh, boy, he's about to get an
education. I'm going.
Here come the Czechs.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, yep.
Look,
the Czechoslovakians are going to school him.
That's
on
a
right.
bee's exactly. nest. You kicked a hornet's nest.
The door knocks, and you open. You again!
Yeah. That's right. All right, Brooks, we will see you out at the stadium on Sunday.
All right, looking forward to it.
All right, keep up the great work. Brooks Cabina, you can get him on the Houston Chronicle. And all of his work covering the Houston Texans and here on Sports Radio 610. All right, up next, Brooks was on this call yesterday. Brandon Staley did a Zoom call. We don't do as many Zoom calls as we used to because people are getting back out and they're going to the office. So something happened on the Zoom call yesterday that is just a quick reminder, you got to mute sometimes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you got to mute.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.